God of defense. Da Vinci did this place where you can minister and people can give and people can receive and really this. I was just laughing because I asked Marissa if she could have Lorenzo in my clothes. I hope she would. That's just a little bit of joke. Seems there's quite a bit of food here around in Venezuela this year. But God is good, it's good for his house tonight. We would run, when we sit or stand in God's presence, and just worship him, it's quite good. And, it's like, I don't know, God's place to come in, just to heal and receive. And many times we come with things that we want to work through right now with God, you know. But God did do things in his own time, and he allows us time. Many times in my life, maybe God had a thing for like us, or many of us, you know. And I think a lot of us would be around. Sometimes we can get angry or say emotional so quickly. But God allows us start to look for other things and that we can go closer to him. Something that I've been sensing all around and many of us as we talk, especially past few weeks in this session, you know, God really wants to stir. And that's what I think God has also shared right now about just that awakening. God is really stirring an urgency in our hearts, you know. That's something nice to say, you know. It's like telling yourself, listen, I'm going to start to exercise sometime. Now, anyone will tell you that's a good thing if you haven't been doing that for a while. But to say it doesn't help a lot, you need to start doing it. So that's, and then you need to find out or plan for yourself, listen, what program or what action will I put in place to start to exercise, even if it's just a little bit, right? In terms of the urgency in our lives, I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but I can just see some people are just, you know, I can see the urgency in lives. And it's something that really gives me a lot of hope, something that makes me excited. And I'm not sure where all of us are standing regarding that. It's not something we're doing it anyway. Almost like asking someone how much do you love your wife and the other person tell you, no, I love them a lot, you know? That's the perfect answer. But if they're really compassionate, something you're really are excited about in your heart. This morning I'm gonna preach a little bit different than I usually do. I'm gonna preach through Nehemiah. And I'm gonna just briefly look at chapter 1-2, share a little bit from chapter 3, and then we're gonna go through chapter 4. That's not usually the way I preach, but I've got something in my heart and I believe and I really trust the Holy Spirit this morning. To do all the ministry, that I can speak the words, and you know where you are in your life, you know what parts of this cry a little bit, and what parts not, maybe cry a little bit more or a lot, let's see what God shows you this morning, because I really believe that God's got a day with us, every day, every moment, not just in church, out of church, wherever we go, and if we are awakened, don't slumber and sleep, you know. Those appointments will be more. God doesn't want to speak to you just once a month or something. God wants to speak to us all the time. I feel a few times and I never ever promote people or answer. But I know we live in really busy times. Everyone says it. And I don't know how we're going to get out of it. I can't see how we're going to get out of it. There's no escape. I thought like maybe you should just I mustn't offend people. Quit your job and go and stay in a place like Carlsbad or maybe Grunau. Life seems slow, always when you're driving in and things you do the same. When you leave maybe for 6 months, you come back, there's 100 new houses or 200, I don't know. Things are always happening at a massive pace. And I don't know how our generation will get out of it. I think I've said it before, but I remember my dad told me the other day I was speaking to him about work or office work or anything or stuff like that. And then he told me when he was my age, a little bit younger, and he started working, you know how they actually write a letter. Do you know what they do that you put on the outside of the letter? A stamp? A stamp? Okay, this shouldn't tell you a generation that will both know about a stamp, a seal of the contents. Okay, and then post it. And then they send it to someone at a different place. People went to the post office, and some of you might read your dad's jobs, and you would see there's an in and out trade, you know, incoming and outgoing mail and stuff like that. And We don't live like that. We see something right now, someone on the other side of the world, and we receive that back from us, and what it might be, that person might write you something back. Now, that's nice because you can get a lot of jobs, a lot of things done right now. But when we look at the urgency in our spiritual lives, you know, we always have to ask ourselves, and some of you weren't here last week, but I spoke about just getting deeper vision out of your life. And I'm just dealing with what you do from my own life, dealing with Pharisee inside, with those Pharisee habits, and getting those things out of just being in a living relationship with Jesus. But before we get too much into that, I want to start to pray the Bible for you. You can turn to Nehemiah, then chapter 1. And as I said, I'm actually nice for me to preach in a different way this morning. Just preach through a few verses and scriptures.
Yes, yeah, well, that's good for now.
15 verse 16 tells us that all scriptures are good, so all are like good food for us, and we can learn and gain something from it. And let's see what God wants to tell us this morning. I believe God wants to tell each and every one of us something. And we want to have to listen to me and you. And there's not something in your heart, you know, then it's not God's fault. Okay, Nehemiah first 1, verse 2. Okay, previously it was just about Nehemiah coming, that he was he's writing this letter, he's receiving this information. And then 1 verse 2, that's Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. Verse 3. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived exiled in a great trouble and shame. Now, great trouble and great shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire. Verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now, you see, there's already something. You know, some of us, me included, sometimes I love the epistles we Paul write to us, the church, and the gospels I really like as well, and sometimes we turn to, you know, some of the book of the Old Testament, but there's so much truth, there's so much godly character, and we will see here this morning in the life of Nehemiah and what the job God gave him to do, you know, there will be so much for us to take home and to chew on and to employ in our own lives. And you can see here, basically, the Jews went to exile, Jerusalem was burned down, it was basically a heap of rubble, and this news came to Nehemiah. And it was really made him feel sorrow, right? It was the graves of his fathers and grandfathers were there. It's almost like, this is our Seder, but say the Chinese come and they burn, and in 50 years' time they come back, and it's just a heap of rubble. We will walk through the place and we'll say, there we went to our primary school, there was the high school, there was the spur, or this or that, and you know, we will be sentimental about what was. And the same thing came to his heart here, and he felt like, obviously, about the times when Jerusalem was a great city and a very powerful place. But let's see what the first thing Nehemiah did. It said he continued in prayer and fasting before the God of heaven. He just didn't stop to curse the people. Did this bad thing in any ways, you know, he went praying and fasting. So I can see from that, he's seeking God's face for this. He's asking God now, it's almost like if you feel there's something wrong in your house, you know, you walk in there and you almost want to look behind you and see what is wrong. There's spider, there's something worse maybe, what's going on there? And the human way seeks God first. We turn to chapter 2 briefly, and we read from chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Verse 1, he was a guy that gave wine to the king, that means he had a good job. In those days, it was very, poison the king, so it was something, you gave wine to the king, you were a bearer of wine. That means the king really trusted you. Again, chapter 2, verse 2, we see. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing that you are unsick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. And I was really much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be saved when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "Why, what are you reproaching me? So I prayed to God of heaven once again to see, seeking God here in this situation. Now look at what happens next. Verse 5, and I think there must be a bit of crying between the two. "And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild." And then we jump to verse 12. "Then I rose in the night, and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God has put into my heart to do for the city." Isn't it beautiful? You see? Okay? He's there before the king asks him, "Why are you sad?" Because you certainly doesn't have a sin. And then he started to seek God's face. Then he was five. He goes back to the king and he says to the king, "If it's okay with you, king, my king, can I go back to Judah?" And then there in verse 12, he's revealed what God has put in his heart. Okay? The mission basically that God has given him to do, and that is go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild this city walls. Now, just a little bit of context, you know. When you drive around and when you're at any given place or time, you will see a lot of this ice crime, people in English, you know, cranes. Especially in city centre, there was a time that, you know, in maybe 500 meters, you could see quite a few of them. And having young kids, you know, they are always very interested in looking at these massive high things, actually lifting something up, transporting it. And you see the bulldozers and the caterpillars, all these impressive things that impress six-year-old boys like mine quite a lot. Maybe they impress used to quite a lot. But basically, those things weren't around in the Nuna's time. When they built, you know, think back, what, 2,500 years, the implements they had. So rebuilding the city wall, that was about 3 years from rubble and stuff. If you didn't have a wild plus in the morning and two coats later, life was hard. It was difficult and it was dangerous. So just a little bit of background to see what will happen next. And I actually want to encourage you. Sometimes if you go to the last minor prophets, as it's called, in the Old Testament, the last ones, you know, we go to the Isaiahs and Genesis and Psalms and Proverbs, but go and read through them also. You know, there's a lot of truth, there's a lot of godliness, there's a lot of wisdom in there that will certainly bless you. I want to challenge you to go and read the whole Nehemiah and see for yourself what you can get out of it. Because there's, as I said, it's in scripture for a reason, and it will bless you, it will feed you. In chapter 3, I'm not going to read, it's just a summary of all the different men and what job they did. And the one that prepared here, the one that blessed from food, and all the different things. And then we get to chapter 4, and that's basically the place I think some of us are at, where some of our churches are, where our vision is many times, and then maybe the Church of Jesus Christ is as well, right now, right here, 2,500 years later, and see if you can find similarities here. And so basically, Nehemiah went to prepare the king, gave him letters, maybe traveled through different areas, and then he came back, and now it's this job, you know, basically with your hands and a few very basic implements to start to build the city wall. Now, first, it's, and I'm just going to, with the rest of the time, I'm just going to work through verse 1 to 18, maybe 23, and just see how far we're getting and what God will give us and show us. I can see there's a spirit of rest, there's something great, of sleeping, that's beautiful. I love that. I have my controls on the gun. Okay, Nehemiah 4, verse 1. Now, Sanballat heard that we were building the wall. He was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews, and he sent in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria. "What are these evil Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn them all at once?" And that, in verse 3, Tobiah, the Amorite was beside you, and he said, yes, but what they are building, if the fox goes up, and he will break down their stone wall. Now basically it's very discouraging. They are Senegal and Tobiah, they are standing there, and that is something that happens many times in the life. We are busy with something, you tell yourself, I'm going to finish Bible school this year, or I'm going to go on missions, and you know you need to fast today before you go on missions. And then these two, maybe friends, family members, flatmates, whatever, and they tell you, why do you know? I know. You will never be able to commit to me to go to Bible school every Tuesday for 2 hours. You want to go on missions? You want to fast? Yeah, right. You will never be able to do that, you know? Now, that's how things work. Many times, we tell ourselves, I'm gonna study further, or whatever. And then the enemy comes and tells you, you're not good enough. You don't have the energy. You're not clever enough. You know? You want to start with a new ministry in the church, or you recently maybe have done that. Or whatever. Think of your personal life, your family surroundings, our church, the bigger church, you know? And you will think, how does this thing work? Always those people standing there with the tongue, I don't used to go by tongue now, the Bobby Skins that move, but you know Bobby Skins that has? Yes. You always believe, and it keeps all his body in that awkward moment. But basically, it's that discouragement that these two guys almost agreeing and saying, you will not be able to do. Even if the fox goes up, that all will come crashing down. Okay, now, remember now, no one was at work at that stage. He came with God and see in his heart. Okay? He sees God's face. God sees him because he said, Nehemiah was also the author of Nehemiah. And he said, this is what God made in my heart. Why are you going to be in Jerusalem? So what is that passage to us? What is God made in your heart? Okay? Is that from growing? Or are people cursing? Are you maybe fear of man working there? And you think like, maybe I should do something else, get up for a job, different ministry, whatever it might be. What is happening with that thing that God has put in your heart? Because you're not here just to, I always tell you, in primary school, I think that's before the time of human rights and stuff. The teacher always tells someone, there's a thief called thief. You're a thief just using oxygen, you're a waste, you know. But God is not doing that. God knows your name. He knows where you're here and you're here this morning, and he knows your heart, he knows what he created you for. Whether it's to serve in church, whether it's to do a job, anywhere, God has given us purpose. God is not just in numbers or anything like that. But that's the thing about intimidation. Okay, even it's always like that. That's why we usually pray for you to start something. Don't just rush in and do it. Okay? And then even if this world falls, we're starting to build. The sting of the enemy comes through intimidation. It's that thing that says, don't even start, you know. Don't start Bible school. Don't even think about missions. Your boss will never give you leave. Okay? And that's a lie. It's almost the opposite of faith. Now, here you can see that intimidation thing at work. And there's on the other side, let's say the enemy side, that's already, agreement. Two guys agreeing and saying, no, they won't be up to it. But just to see for a moment, almost just something with words starting here. It will also progress on the enemy side. Then we go on to Nehemiah 4 verse 4. Now just see this, and this is what I want you to see. Also, he was like a leader. God gave him this something in his heart, the seed of faith, the job of purpose he needs to do. Let's see how he responds. He then get all the strongest guys together and say, listen, we're going to take those two guys out. But definitely against God, it's a whack thing, you know, get assassin or something. They didn't form a committee, like we have to do or something and talk about all the what actions you will take and stuff. Let's see, what did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah 4 verse 4. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn back their torn on their own heads and beat them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Verse 5. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the Lord. Okay? Either he doesn't act in a natural way, you know? Immediately he goes to pray, because this was a man of prayer and fasting. He He knew how to in a spiritual way, basically, how to count it. Yeah? And he started by praying. He probably shared his heart, probably used a few more words, basically asking God to deal with those people. Not to kill them in a physical way, but how to deal with them. Okay, let's continue a little bit. So it was his first resource. It's the first thing that he started to do, because he knew this project wasn't even in our terms at the talent plan yet. You know, they weren't even a stamp of approval. The building hasn't started, and the opposition is there already. It's almost like a year that must have been the end of 2011 when I first went to the headmaster at Sayo, and I spoke to him about maybe going to this facility for church. I think the fourth sentence he said to me, there's someone close by that will definitely moan because the music will offend him or something. Praise God, it's now 2 and a little bit years, and no one has ever written a letter as far as I know or complained in any way. So that's something we gave to God. Okay, so when times of opposition come, God wants us to rely on Him. And the first way of expressing our reliance on God is to pray. And you know what, guys? I'm talking also in the context of urgency today. So, remember there was a time, go back to primary school or high school history, it was called the Dark Ages. And it was basically the Dark Ages, because the church didn't fulfill its role, and then later the Renaissance came, and there came light, and then people actually started to read scripture for themselves. You know, the whole thing about the printing press starting to happen, and those people weren't like held in God. Do you know what we did in 2014? And we've got all the information available that we can. And it's amazing to think we went from the Dark Ages to the Enlightenment to the Renaissance. And we're almost going back into the Dark Ages in many ways. Because having all the information that people just lost. I heard someone very close actually, and not in church yet, but just you know, talking about the Old Testament. Just stories, you know. There's no sense in that. It's just stories, you know. And that might be your opinion, you know, and you can turn back into libraries and libraries of commentaries and things today, and it still mean nothing to you. If you choose to shut off your heart and say, God, whatever, it's an old story, something way back, it's not something alive. But let's continue here with the story we are focusing on. And look at verse 6. And it's basically the result of the attack and Nehemiah's defense and prayer. Now the work continues, or it actually started and continues. So that intimidation seed that was sown, that work, the prayer of Nehemiah actually worked, and this project started to continue. Verse 6. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Intimidation, prayer, and then basically victory. There was a breakthrough. People had a mind to work, and they started rebuilding this wall, and it surely took a bit of time to build it up and get it to a certain place. And it says there the people had a mind to work. Now, for us in our context, this is all for them. It must have been a victory. It must have been a victory to see that this device. We are progressing. This wall has been built up. People maybe got excited, and it was a good thing to see all the people were encouraged and prayed and needed a good leadership, and this wall basically were rising. But, and it said, you know, the people had the mind to work. And that's how I probably felt that Sunday after the Activate Sunday, about a month ago or something. You know, when we had all the ministers here, I could see how many people are serving in church, just making this thing work. Okay, it's not something that we do through fear and intimidation, but basically from people's hearts. Okay, but you see, the enemy wanted to stop this job, the building of this wall. And I'm going to jump a lot between the natural and the spiritual in a sense. Like this wall was something natural that was built, but there was a lot of spiritual things around it. Okay, so the enemy doesn't have to, always kill someone for a job not to happen. It's very easy for you actually. You just sound divisive, split or something, a divisive move, or you make people focus on other things. I think I've shared this opinion in the church, you know, when the group called Christ is preacher and anything, it starts with a, or they're just saying, you know, the devil doesn't have to close down church, you know. Do exactly what he wants. He could just allow all the churches to continue and to focus on the music and the confidence and everything happening. But churches with Jesus Christ isn't free. Okay? Then stop with him, church will continue. Just taking the main focus out of it. And in this project also, anyone to take the focus away from him. You know? To basically make him feel, well, we're not going to. There's no purpose in that, or maybe you're intimidated or whatever. Then, so they throw bricks, and the wall was basically involved by a bull. Now let's see how the enemy reacts. Verse 7 and 8. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the wall of Jerusalem was going forward, and that the breaches would begin to be closed, they were very, very angry, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and cause confusion. Now you see, the first time, they only said, you are feeble Jews, even if the fox goes up the wall, comes crashing down, they just spoke. Now, the wall was progressing, the city walls of Jerusalem, okay, that they were city, and now they were getting to a place where the enemy said, no, we don't like this, let's team up. Now it's the Arabs and the Ashdodites, Amorites, everyone coming together and said, listen, let's, and they prompted to come and fight. So now they want to take up the sword and the spear. Okay, now they actually said, listen, now we're going to stop this thing with violence. We're going to stop it physically. That the, but who's obviously at work? Are they just like bad people in the natural? Or does the enemy also have a plan? Okay, so many times in the session, we'll see something and then we have to raise the bar. Because we do something, we say we'll go on missions, and you know, people get sick or something, and then we need to raise the bar, because that was what the enemy also done. He wants to discourage us in many ways, and now I'm talking not about our church as well. Okay? The ball is off, right? And now this is, we need to see, listen, there's still a lot of work to be done, but now this is what's happening on the other side of the fence. These guys are basically saying, let us come together and let's go physically stopping there, that's what they want to do. I remember a few years ago, you remember Marius, Hannes, that walked with his cross. He did a lot of walking and then one word. He actually went to Eros. You know what that name's mean? Name Eros?
Nectar.
Yes, I think it's kind of a stronghold, you know. And he went there, prayed for a guy in a wheelchair. And after that, his ministry was just stopped in every possible way. You know, I'm not going to go into much detail, but just like that, we had stopped working on Sundays, couldn't come to church anymore. A lot of stuff, very fast. His car broke down. It was just like this door was open, and the floodgates of hell was just trying to stop him. And it's almost the same thing happening here, just from the other side. Basically, we confused them, discouraged them. In many ways. Now we go to verse 9. Verse 9. And we pray to our God and seek to God as protection against him day and night. Now basically, they saw and they heard the rumors. These guys want to come and attack us. Okay, so they're a very vulnerable place. And if you have read the story before, that's why I think it's such a strong, encouraging story this morning. Okay? We'll see where it's going this morning. So they pray to their God, and then they also seek the God. You know, that means they've got people in place, they were watchful, they were vigilant, they were on the lookout. Say to someone next to you this morning, be vigilant, be watchful.
Be vigilant and be awake.
Okay. So there's two things for us in that. Firstly, they pray, that was the right thing for you. Because who is building this world? God's project. God laid it in someone's heart to go and do it. And just think of yourself. What if God, over the years, or maybe recently, laid on your heart to do? at least that seed or that spin of future that is in your heart right now. So firstly they prayed, and then secondly, they also did something in the natural. They said to God. Now that's like, this is something we can actually talk about a little bit. Is it okay just to pray? There's two sides of the coin. The side is when pray and that will be enough. But it's almost like discipleship. You know? Should we just pray and say, God, help me to disciple people? But who is going to make disciples? Who is going to make disciples? Okay, it's almost like that thing about that Rainer Bunker has said, I think I've quit it for the time too, about intercession and evangelism. Okay? It's like the detonator and the bomb. First you go to pray and then you go out. So if you just stick to praying, that's good. And you can pray for hours and hours. But someone needs to go out and preach the word, share the testimony, bring the good news to whoever needs to hear. And in this instance, also we see in verse 9, they pray together and then they also seek God. That means there's people being on the lookout, being vigilant for what the enemy wants to do. And this happened to me a few times. You know, and I think like I've been pulled up. The enemy has put me on the wrong foot. Yeah, we weren't vigilant, and something happened in a certain situation, and then you actually see like we got you here. Okay? And then it's, hopefully it's not too late, but many times the enemy will set us up. Will set us up for in many ways. Okay, that's his game. His tricks never change. The enemy couldn't create anything new. Okay? The tricks that he had, I would read the Old Testament, the New Testament. Sexual immorality, all those things, it's nothing new. Nothing new under the sun, you know? But we need to be watchful, we need to be very clear. Okay. Then it was something that also did day and night. I think many of us remember once in urgency. Sometimes we think like we're going to church on Sunday, but we want to pray, we want to sleep for the church service, but the rest of the week we can go through the motions. And I almost want to link it a little bit by a minister on last week of getting that Pharisee stuff out of our lives. You know, all the dead religion that, for those of you who weren't here, I spoke about that song from Freddie Mercury that I want to break free. I'm not going to sing it to you, someone else can. But you will remember sometimes you know you see that stuff in your life, in our lives, and we just want to get it out. Jesus also wants those things to get out of our lives. Dude, they had night that just first took place, they were really committed, something they were really vigilant, and you know that there was a lot at stake. And there's also a lot at stake in the Church of Jesus Christ, you know, where we are right now. I mean, and just past week, I think I've driven by eternity from John here again, I just started fading through the chapters, and I have to put how much room that book would be. We can actually read every year, just to be driven by eternity as well. To see heaven and hell, we did it in Bible school recently as well, in the doctrines of eternal judgment, just looking about the things to come, and that can be linked to what Ryan has said this morning in relation to him too. Just to get that difference in our lives, and to see, listen, we're going to die someday. It's a given, all of us. We're going to die, but we will be standing in the eternal place. Just a little bit on that. Okay, then. Talking this morning about main rights of our hearts, our church's vision, where we are going, those things, the global church today, can apply to any individual life as well. Then we see here, they face opposition from the inside and the outside. They many times make jokes, and there's a lot of truth in that maybe sometimes, that you can, you know, in my culture, you can put 10 people on an island, and then leave them for 5 years there, and then 5 years, then you come back. Okay. And that's just because the guys love you to fight against each other. And to say, no, but we're not going to do this in unity. I'll plant my new church, I'll start a new office, whatever. That's that divisive thing. Okay, break up marriages, break up things. And the enemy brings us challenges from the outside, but definitely sometimes from the inside as well. Have a look here, Nehemiah 10, 4 verse 10. In Judah it was said, in Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is fallen. There is too much. God. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild this wall. Now remember, it's devised in Judah's saying this. Judah is the lion, the strongest tribe, the lion of Judah. That's basically the bloodline of Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ came from Judah, was descended. So now the strongest tribe is saying to these guys, working, leave it, guys. You're not going to make it. You are not strong enough. We can see your strength are falling. People are saying, ah, I can't do this anymore. And maybe you feel like that this morning. Maybe you feel, what about your job? Maybe it's something about you, and you feel that the burden is becoming very heavy. I'm just going to let the burden go. I'm just going to let something fall. Maybe you have a dream in your heart. Maybe you have something that something God has called you for. And you think like, ah, Lord, maybe I'm someone else. I don't have the strength in me to do it anymore. Okay? That can be something that's happening to you to me this morning. But you see, that the building of that wall, it wasn't an anemia thing, it was a God thing. And you know, I've shared maybe before, I remember Pastor Frank a while ago, he said to us, and he talked about, I think it was about apostolic things, and then he said, you know, you were sent to Stellenbosch, and he knew it wasn't the first guy sent him. God asked four guys or three guys, I can't remember, before he could go there, they all said no. You know, it's like God sending you to Bruno or to where else, little town in Namibia. If anyone is from Bruno, don't you think that it's just a small place? Or maybe to Botswana or to Zambia or to wherever. Or God is asking you to do something. And you say, God, I'll go anywhere but not that place. The Jonah and the fish type of thing. And we tend to be like that. You know, you say, God, ask someone else. I just don't have a heart for Bruno. And many times we say, God, I'll do this and this because it's the things I like. But God doesn't work like that. Many times He will send you, just like Jonah, to something or a place that you don't have a heart, something you don't have peace about. We are so many charismatic church, we love to tell people, I'll do you have peace about it. But that sometimes just means if I like what God is saying. Okay? But it's not about us, it's about God, isn't it? It's not about us, it's about God, what God wants to do for our life. And sometimes we want to have like a menu and we want to say, God, I'll do that part because it doesn't take too much work. Yeah, but someone here, you know, it's just like someone did a setup here yesterday that we can have church. Something that takes a lot of fun. Maybe you think, well, I'll do something, but it doesn't take an hour or two, but that's too much for my busy schedule. Or I can't go on missions because it's taking too long. Many times. That's it. I'm not knocking anyone or something here today. It's just we need to check what's in our hearts and to hear what God is saying to us. And then you see, there will be people around us like the guys in Judah that say to you, your marriage won't work, or this is not going to happen in your life, you're not going to get that degree, or you want to go to the nations, are you mad? You know how many people I've tried to do it before? Good luck, buddy. And then don't look at what the people say. Look at what God is saying. Nehemiah started this thing by praying and fasting. And then after God laid it in his heart, he went to the king, asked permission from the king, and then he went and he started this project. Nehemiah called this 11. And okay, now from the other side. Because remember, this was Jews, so the guys from Judah were their family, their brothers. Again, this 11 we see. And our enemy said, they will not know or see the wind we come among them and kill them and stop the work. Okay? Now, we can get very spiritual about it, but Paul says in Ephesians 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Okay? So the devil, in that sense, can creep up to you and work around you, and you will not be able to see him if I can prove like that. So you need to stop praying. Basically, this is the enemies that said, remember those enemies that were only mocking at the start, you know? And I remember this is exactly how my ministry basically started. Before I left Stellenbosch in 2008, someone wrote me a letter and said to me, you will not be a good pastor. Someone said to my wife, I don't see you as a pastor's wife. Many times when God is doing something, okay, someone will come and tell you, listen, you will never succeed. My dad always tells the story, just a story from our family. He grew up here in a small town, Leonardville, and the two naughtiest things they were able to do at school, and that was in the 1950s. They stole the headmaster's watermelon, and they went to play at the police station and tried to jump in front of me or something. Now I see that, that's almost not sin, but it's okay if you look at what's happening around us today. But you know what happened? That headmaster actually told my dad when he and friends went to jump out of the trampoline. Obviously, those days they weren't like standing in the corner and thinking about your sins. They got a very big meeting. And then the headmaster told them, you are bad, you will never be able to do much in life. You know? And that's like an arrow being shot at the young boy's heart. But nevertheless, praise God, Dad, God's faithful. You know, my dad grew up looking like, I think it's some, you know, he became a professor and he wrote books and stuff, and God blessed him in that sense. But you know, just as easily, it can kill you. Maybe something happened recently in your life, and you think, maybe because something went wrong, God will never come through for you. Maybe you've never seen a being in your life. Maybe you feel this morning, but I've prayed to people and I've never seen God miraculously healing someone, myself or someone else, and you think, but I'm not going to pray for people, you see, because of something that happened. And that's how the enemy wants to come and steal that seed. That seed that was in Nehemiah's life, and maybe in your life today. Maybe you find something massive in your heart. Or it doesn't happen. God is not just God of the big thing. You know? Maybe what God is calling me is for something small, but to be diligent. Don't let the enemy from the outside or the inside, those guys from Judah, or the enemies plotting against you, don't let it destroy what is in your heart. Okay? Because that discouragement is the opposite of faith. And the enemy always wants our faith. Because if he gets that, we can go on. We will be a harmless church in this world. We go to verse 12. And basically, just there were some Jews that warned them, you know, some of the family members, or maybe guys that they know, and it's always also shown just about God's faithfulness, warned them about these guys plotting to come and attack them and to kill them and stop this work. Because as I said, they were in a vulnerable place, and this wall was halfway full, it wasn't something finished. And once again, you can think of our own church, your own life. None of us can say our work is finished, we've done it, we've been taken service. There's still a lot of time and years, especially for some of those who's 20, you know, to evangelize, walk around and do what we are called to do. Always inspiring to see so many people that come older sit back and think, time is finished, we're gonna retire. But to see you going last on missions, all those things, I think many of us can just look at that and say amen. Then the reaction in verse 13 and 14, once again, Nehemiah, who basically lets an intercession, or the friends, the other Jews, telling them, this is the starting option to kill them, and this is Nehemiah's response, verse 13 and 14. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower part of the wall at the opening, and I set people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked at the road and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your husbands. Now this is almost a picture like the body of Christ for me. Nehemiah said, okay, now these guys, they plotted, they're coming to feed us. And now take your swords and your spears and your bows and your arrows, everything, and you put different people in your family, and family groups together to keep watch, to be vigilant, to look out for when these guys might come and attack them. And it's just almost like something like in our church. I've just seen over the years many times how God just comes as the Nehemiah almost, and he raises up people to lead the worship, to stop the ministry, to do something at the improvised, or at night, or lay on people's heart to go at the wake, and I believe the ladies will come back with hearts that are full and full of passion for things can work together for our mission, for our vision, for what God has called this church to do. And then we can go on with verse 15. It's beautiful to actually see what the enemies did. Verse 15, and it happened. I think it's a different translation at the back.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be the wording is just going to be a little bit different. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought it promptly nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. And it's basically, you know, something that just this morning when I was preparing. That scripture that says, resist the devil and you will flee from us. Many times, you know, when you are battling with something and you feel like there's the temptation and there's the victory, you think it's so difficult to overcome and to get to that place of resisting the devil and you will flee from it. But I promise you this morning, whatever you are battling with this morning, or in this week, or year, or yesterday, or the day to come, you know, that word, God's word, is faithful and it is true. And if you resist the devil, obviously not just in your own strength, you know, do like me, we are praying fast, and you gain a victory. Let me use an example. You've got an eating disorder. I don't know, I want to just like some food. But basically, you can't walk past the chocolate. I'm just using it as an example. And if you look at the chocolate, you can't eat just one, you have to eat 10 of them. And then, don't laugh, Jackie. It's something really happening out there, right? It's called eating disorder. Okay? So you can't just like walk past that chocolate and eat one of them. Yeah? Or it can be a beer, or what even in life, or a Coke, or any other little things in life. Okay? So, and that thing, it's just like you can't resist this thing. But if you get to a place, and God is weak, and you're strong, you know, I'm going to buy milk now at Angel at 10 o'clock at night, but I'm not going to buy those chocolates for not 10 of them, okay? Then, and you pray, and you reach it, and you go, and you do those tickets, whatever, they call ones, you know? And you tell them they're from the devil, and you tell them the owner of the shop, please take them away here. You're laughing, go to places. Last some of the days, especially at Stella Moshara, there's a lot of people battling for stuff like this. So I actually don't want to make it too big a joke out of it. It's just like, I think many times, speaking to my wife, also when she ministered there, that more of a lady demon, you guys demon more lustful stuff in here. Just honestly, you know? And then, when you walk past and you pray with the book and you only read, you're going to feel this victory in your heart. That's going to be so strong and powerful that you're going to feel, I can overcome, you know? But if you fail, you're going to feel like the enemy has won. And it's always demoralized. But you know what? The second time and the third time and fourth time that you walk past that door and you don't buy any sweets, you know, that's resisting the devil and you will flee from it. You will start to, on the short term, sometimes you will come back. But you know, that victory, that's what we allow in church time. For people to share testimonies, to test it for us, God leading us, God delivering us. Okay? And that is why I can say this morning that I'll ask some of the ladies next week to share testimonies because I truly believe they will be. Okay? And maybe they will even testimonies here today because God is fighting. I believe in this morning. Okay, so let's continue there, going to verse, almost ending now here. Verse 16 to 18, let me just read to you. I said about resisting the devil and he will flee from you. So now we can take some photos. When we are on a spiritual attack, it's easy to think that just ending the storm is the victory. It isn't. The attack often comes to prevent your progress and work for the Lord. Victory is enduring the attack and continuing progress and the work for the Lord. There was something that you can see here. Nehemiah, when he prayed, that time when he prayed, you know, he prayed almost against his enemies. But God didn't just take the enemies away. He actually did something in his own people's hearts. That's where it said, God gave the people a mind to work. I mean, but there are some people who want to just go and get those people away from us or something. But God actually wants to do the work in our lives. We are working, we are co-workers for Jesus Christ, doing something. Okay, verse 16 and 18. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall, and those who carried burdens, loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction, and with the other hand held the weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside him. That was basically the guy. If they were attacked again, someone had to blow the shofar, you know? Someone had to blow the trumpet and just tell the people, listen, enemies coming, now you have to be on full alert. Okay? But look at this picture. The beautiful picture, I just love it. You know, the guys are building, it's hard work, it's manual labor, not driving tractors and cranes and stuff. It's hard work. But because of everything that has been happening here regarding God's project, rebuilding this wall, the city walls, okay? They came to a place where with the one hand they were working and with the other hand they were holding the sword. And I think for us we can just apply it. Like, you know, wherever you work, whatever you do in life, study, you know? And we don't just take our books, our job with both hands, but that we wore the armor, okay? And that we continue to walk with our sword. But because this is this picture of a lot of the natural. If you take it to the spiritual realm, we must wear our armor all the time, without the helmet, everything, yeah? And be ready all the time. And I think coming back to urgency once again, you know, this is such a beautiful picture of men doing hard physical work, but at the same time, they are very vigilant, they're walking with these swords and spears, they are ready. Okay, the guy with the trumpet standing there, and whenever they see dust on the horizon and the enemy coming, he's going to blow that thing, and every guy just going to drop a few bricks, and they're going to be ready. Ready to fight, ready to defend, ready to attack, whatever that situation might be. I think for us, it's just something to stir in our hearts. You know? Like, I know some of us are here, and we're thinking, by the rest of the day, maybe work next week. But friends, we have to sit still. We have to ask ourselves, how vigilant are we? Because every one of us are earning, are working in a way, whatever you are doing in life, you know? We don't just exist in the problem. We are doing something. And just this picture, please take it with you this, in the next week, you know? I'm working, tapping on your laptop, speaking over your phone, but in the same time, as you're standing there speaking on your phone, you can actually pray for someone as well. You can intercede for that person standing opposite you. You know, having the support, meaning having scripture with you, you know, that means church isn't the place where evangelism just happens. Is that? We are here, the church are here for the outside, for this broken world. The church are the one and the only solution that Jesus Christ has for this broken world. Okay? And we as warriors in this church, as men of God, people that need to take out and fight basically. Okay? Let's look at the life of women and how we handle situations. If you go on and you just read it, the rest of the chapter, we'll just see how we basically, how they continued building the wall, and how the men were ready to fight all the time. And it's just speaking to me that heart of vigilance, being ready all the time. You know? And through this weekend, you know, I was home with my kids, and my ribs are going to awaken. And sometimes, you know, the best way to keep them busy, sometimes to keep them much. But in between, you know, I just prayed in the spirit. I was just praying in the spirit, asking God, you know, fun stuff, you know. And that's that time when we can be busy. God has given us that opportunity not to just do one thing at a time. You can multiply, you know. You can type something and you can pray in your heart as well. Just whatever it might be. I know God is calling this church to have an urgency, to be a vigilant church. Now, and the thing is, this wall at the certain stage was only halfway, and then they saw that came, so it means it intensified. Now, and sometimes we see things against us also intensified. You know, You came to say that, I mean, I think it was in that first year, there was something from the front page of the newspapers that said, no more churches and government schools. Praise God, you are still for that. Opposition will always fight. The doors will always be closed to us. But you know, God has always a plan. God has always an escape for us. I'm going to pray for us now as a church. And then I want to pray for the people here. If there's anyone sick here, I want to pray for you. I'm sick and I just don't want to use your thoughts. I really want to see God healing. And I wonder if you maybe are here this morning and actually I want you to pray for each other. You know, maybe we can, I want people to respond as well. But let's pray for each other. We are the body and there's healing in the body for whatever ailments there are, whatever sickness there are. So if you feel this morning, and I just want you to be, that's also something that I've just seen so much around me. You know, that's talking about fantasy thing. When we just, someone asked you, how are you doing? And you said, I'm fine. But you don't want to scream because so angry you are, or broken, or whatever. Be honest with each other. You know, then God can give us actually healing. So whatever is in your life, if you feel you are like, why building so hard? But your sword, you haven't seen that thing in the last month, okay? Then you need to get your sword as well. Then you need to work on your readiness, okay? You need to look at what Nehemiah is doing. You need to see how he's, this project, this thing that you have been doing. What your boss maybe, or actually your small group, what is happening around you, okay? So maybe you can all just stand this morning. God, this morning, we've got to come to you as a church this morning, Father God. Father, we see all the gaps in the walls, Lord God. We see a wall that's been unbuilt halfway, Lord God. We see, Lord God, we see people pointing finger, Lord God, at the work you are doing, Lord God. We see people that wants to say, Lord, to us that even if a fox runs against that wall, it will come crumbling down. But Father, Father, it's your wall, Lord God. It's your work, Lord God. And so it goes to your church, Lord God. We've seen even the surgery, Lord God. We see church suffering so much and there's so much stuff happening around us, Lord God. Father, we want to put our eyes on you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And this morning, Lord God, we want to build, Lord God, in a natural way in our jobs, whatever we do, Lord God. And at that place, Lord God, we want to have an honor on you. We want to have the sword in our hands. And us as a family, as a church, we as God, Lord God, and we know, Lord God, as soon as we get a victory, many of us, Lord, the enemy will come and fight against us, Lord God. Like all the people conspiring, Lord God, like that son of hell, Lord God, and the new Lord, and say, now, Lord, we bring you down. We'll kill all of you. And Father, thank you that you're always raising men up, Lord God, to raise the bar, to raise the standard, Lord God. This Father, that you, we are seeing places, Lord God. That's just that beautiful picture of the body of Christ, Lord God. We have you, and you have given us different gifts, Lord God, and different abilities and different things to do, Lord God. It's Father, we want to look to you this morning. Father, whether it's for healing in our lives, Lord, whether it's an emotional area, Lord, whether it's in a physical area, Lord, whether we are working on it, standing with you, whether maybe we are sitting here this morning, Lord Jesus. And we know we are not walking in relationship with you. Whatever the case might be, Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you will give us breakthrough, Lord God. I can hear, Lord God, and I do the praying, we will fast, Lord. Whatever plans you give us in a practical way, as we have said to God, Lord God, given the advice to the job, Lord God, to walk with the sword in the one hand and to work with the other, Lord God. And we will be vigilant, that there will be urgency in our heart. Lord God, and it's Father, we think it's Sunday, Lord, and May is coming, and it's a lot of long weekends, and it's school holiday, Lord, and it's Lord, I hope you stir someone else's heart. I pray for every one of us, Lord God, and we can look to you this morning, Father God. And Father God, we can keep jumping in the swimming pool of living waters, Lord God, and just build our relationship with you, Lord God. Father, we send your word, we draw close to you, Lord God, you will draw close to us. And it's something we can stand on, Lord God. Father, we know, Lord, that you have given us the church of Jesus Christ. If you're given us a job here, God, Father, that you reach the people that's not standing in a relationship with you, God. I pray, Lord, that it will burn in our hearts, that you will break our hearts to what is great in your heart, Lord. Right now, get on today onwards, Lord God, that all those Pharisee habits, Lord, that things like pointing fingers at others, wiping it right here, Father, that you will build our hearts, circumcise our hearts first, Lord God. It's all right. We can have a love for one another, Lord God. We can love people around us. We can live and work for Jesus and passion in our lives, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, this Father, that you had a appointment with our hearts this morning, Father. That there will be something that we will be able to take home, something burning in our lives, Lord God. Something we will not just walk into church tonight and then walk out of church tonight. And then next week, Sunday, walk into it. Maybe next week a small group, a little bit of God. But that's the Pharisee thing that wants you in our lives, Lord God. Want to bring our Lord God, want to purify us, Lord God, and we can be like fountains of living water, Lord God. This people around us, Lord God. I pray in Jesus' name. I just want the small eyes of the Pharisees for you. I want to really, if you reach in your heart this morning, and you feel you want to pray with someone, is anything in your life. Just don't walk out of church like that, or being in the presence of Jesus. If there's something in your heart, please pray with the person next to you. I'm going to stand here this morning. And as I said, if you've got sickness in your body, or if you're standing here and you know my relationship, the sword, that the word of God, I haven't seen it in months now, or maybe I feel so dry, is that relationship is just. Anything like that, or anything else, I would love to pray with you this morning. We aren't here just to have church. We're supposed to be church to one another. So if there's anything in your heart this morning, please don't just go home. I'm going to stand here and please this opportunity afterwards. Go in friendship with someone. But please don't leave if there's anything in your heart, some business that you need to do with God. Amen.